कृष्णा,
Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Akhinena Krishna Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 29th chapter and 59th verse onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. All glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for giving your valuable time with us this morning, Prabhuji. I will now hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
My pleasure. Just remind me, do I have to do kirtan first, or I'm not familiar with your style, so do I do kirtan first, or
you can sing Radha Madhav Prabhuji.
All right, yeah. जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन 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 यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन 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 यमुना तीरावन यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय ब्रज भूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जय, गंगा मई की जय, तुलसी देवी की जय, सामवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. So we will project the verse which is under discussion. इति वेद वेदांबादः श्रूयते तत्र तत्रः कर्म यत् क्रियते प्रोक्तम् परोक्षं न प्रकाशते। ओके, the expert knowers of the Vedic conclusions say that one enjoys or suffers the results of his past activities. But practically it is seen that the body that performed the work in the last birth is already lost. So how is it possible to enjoy or suffer the reactions of that work in a different body? Purport. Atheists want evidence for the resultant actions of past activities. Therefore, they ask, where is the proof that I am suffering and enjoying the resultant actions of past karma? They have no idea how the subtle body carries the results of the present body's actions down to the next gross body. The present body may be finished grossly, but the subtle body is not finished. It carries the soul to the next body. Actually, the gross body is dependent on the subtle body, and therefore, the next gross body must enjoy and suffer according to the subtle body. The soul is carried by the subtle body continuously until liberated from gross material bondage. नारद उवाच यैनावारभते कर्म तेनैवामुत्र तत्पुमान् भुङ्क्ते यव्यवधानेन लिङ्गेन मनसा स्वयं भुङ्क्ते यव्यवधानेन लिङ्गेन मनसा स्वयं। The great sage Narad continued, the living entity acts in a gross body in this life. This body is forced to act by the subtle body, composed of mind, intelligence, and false ego. After the gross body is lost, the subtle body is still there to enjoy or suffer. Thus, there is no change. Purport. The living entity has two kinds of body, subtle body and the gross body. Actually, he enjoys through the subtle body, which is composed of mind, intelligence, and ego. The gross body is instrumental outer covering. When the gross body is lost, or when it dies, the root of the gross body, the subtle body of mind, intelligence, and ego, continues and brings about another gross body. Although the gross body apparently changes, the real root of the gross body is always there. The subtle body's activities, be they pious or impious, create another situation for the living entity to enjoy or suffer in the next gross body. Thus, the subtle body continues, whereas the gross bodies change one after another. Since modern scientists and philosophers are too materialistic, and since their knowledge is taken away by the illusory energy, they cannot explain how the gross body is changing. A materialistic philosopher, Darwin, has tried to study the changes of the gross body,
But because he has no knowledge of either the subtle body or the soul, he could not clearly explain how the evolutionary process is going on. And one may change the gross body, but he works in the subtle body. People cannot understand the activities of the subtle body, and consequently they are bewildered as to how the actions of one gross body affect another gross body. The activities of the subtle body are also guided by the super soul, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Super Soul is always guiding the individual soul. The individual soul always knows how to act according to the reactions of his past karma. In other words, the Super Soul reminds him to act in such a way. Therefore, although there is apparently a change in the gross body, there is a continuation between the lives of an individual soul. Om Ajnanti Mirandhasya Jnanan Janashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guraha Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि जी वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण. सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम द फोर्थ कैंटो 29th चैप्टर verse number 59 and 60. Okay. The expert knowers of the Vedic conclusions say that one enjoys or suffers the results of his past activities. But practically it is seen that the body that performed the work in the last birth is already lost. So how is it possible to enjoy or suffer the reactions of that work in a different body? So, a little analysis, a little Sankhya. Who is actually enjoying? What is contributing to the experience of enjoyment? You know, many of us have heard this verse or heard this example of a chariot. The body represents a chariot. We have not heard the verse actually. You know, the verse is like this.
ஆஹுஹு சரீரம் ரசம் இந்திரியாணி ஹயான் அபிஷுன் மன இந்திரியேஷாம் வர்த்மானி மாத்ரா திஷணம் ச சூதம் சத்வம் பிரஹத் வந்துரம் ஈஷு சிஷ்டம். You know, that is a verse actually from Katha Upanishad. So it is said, Ahuhu Shariram. It is said, Ahu means it is said, Shariram Ratham Indriyani. That the body is compared to a Ratha or a chariot. Indriyani Hayan. Hayan means a horse. So visualize a chariot being pulled by five horses, which represents the five senses. Hayan, okay, Indriyani Hayan, Abhishun Manaha. Abhishun means the reins, which are held by the driver of the chariot and the horses are tied to the reins. So Abhishun means the reins, and they represent the mind. Abhishun Manaha. And Vartmani Matra. And now the horse and the chariot is going to different destinations. So those destinations, Vartmani, are like Matra. Matra means the sense objects. Vartmani Matra, Tishanam Cho Sutam. Dhi, Dhishanam cha Sutam. This word Dhi comes from the root intelligence. Like we say Buddhi, or in Bhagavatam, Dhi Mahini, which means that I surrender my intelligence to the Lord. So here Dhi. Dhi in the sense Dhishanam cha Sutam. So that intelligence is the Suta, the chariot driver. And Satvam Brihad Bandhuram Isha Shrishtam. And this chariot which is designed by the Lord, there is a passenger who is riding on this chariot. And who is that passenger? Passenger is a soul. Okay, so we have heard this example, very popular, but we have not heard this verse. But it's a very wonderful verse from the Katha Upanishad. And it's very significant, because unless we do not understand this example, you know, we really cannot understand how this mind functions and what is actually responsible for the experiences. So the horses are represented by the senses are represented by the horses, reins as the mind, and the driver who's holding the reins in his hand is actually the intelligence, and the soul is the passenger. So we have to understand each person's functions here very, very clearly. Now, in a chariot, the horses are controlled by the mind, by the reins, is it not? I mean, how hard you pull the reins or how loose you leave it will determine whether the horses will move ahead or it'll stop or it'll go left or right. So direction for the horses are given by the reins, which represents the mind. So the mind is in a higher position than the senses. Mind over matter. Now that's why they say mind over matter. If your mind is disciplined, Krishna says that in the Gita, for disciplined people whose minds are disciplined, yoga is easy, but for those who are undisciplined, it's very difficult. So mind over matter, mind over senses. And who's holding the reins? The driver. So that means intelligence is even more powerful or is more overbearing on the mind also. And then the soul who sits in a chariot and tells the driver where he wants to go. So that soul is even higher than even the driver, because the driver is simply following the instructions of the passenger. Is it not like when we go to a Uber, take a Uber, we tell the Uber where we want to go. We fix the destination.
So the desire of the soul is responsible for the intelligence to take charge of the mind, and the mind, which is the master of all the senses, which has the senses under him, then will control and will take us to the different destinations. You know, it is important for us to accept this fact and understand this fact very carefully. Reason being that many of us or many of the people in this world can't agree to the fact that our senses can be controlled or mind can be controlled. They've lost hope completely. But the fact that if we accept this fact, the mind is above the senses and the intelligence is still above the mind and the soul is still above the intelligence. And if we accept it wholeheartedly, then we will have faith and we will take up to the process of and work on all levels. You see, how do we work on all levels? As a soul, yeah, we as a soul, what do we do? We strengthen our desire. We should have a very strong sankalpa. Krishna says in the Gita, sankalpa jayet kamam. Kama krodha vivarjanat. Yes, that very famous verse, you must have heard it. Sankalpa jayet kamam. That if you do not have that sankalpa, if you do not have that strong desire too for discipline and Krishna consciousness, then it's very difficult. Because only with a sankalpa can you conquer kama, lust. Yes. Sankalpa jayet kama. So therefore, what does the soul need to do? The drive, when the passenger sits in a car, he has to very categorically emphasize where he wants to go. He has to tell the driver, this is where I want to go. If he just sits in the car and he says, well, you know, you just go wherever you want to go, then the driver will make his own choices. Which happens sometimes, you know, the passenger comes and sits and he's drunk and then, you know, the driver doesn't know where to take him and he just takes him to some beach and just throws him out there and the passenger does not know where he is. So it happens sometimes. Why? Because the passenger doesn't have a will, doesn't have a goal, doesn't have a sankalpa. So as a soul, what we can do is to have the desire. Then the mind comes into play. I'm sorry, the intelligence then will, you know, come into play and then the mind. So now, what is the mind actually? Now here we are speaking about the mind. The mind is the seat of experiences. What we experience is because of the mind. The intelligence is basically the knowledge of right and wrong. But the mind, being very critical, is actually the seat of experiences. And therefore, the mind is necessary in order to experience things in this world. Even though the senses are there, the senses are not only responsible for experiences. It is the mind also which plays an important role. For example, you know, we all must have experienced it that when we are eating, you know, they say when you eat, you should be conscious of your food. I heard one doctor say that when we eat, you know, we should be very conscious. We shouldn't be distracted. You know why? Because if you're distracted, if you're talking and you're discussing something very heavy philosophy, and our mind is not focused on the food, then what happens? Can someone say? Well, what happens is that your stomach is full, but your mind is empty. Which means that, you know, the experience of eating is not there in your mind, but the food has gone into your stomach. So what will that result in? It will result in dissatisfaction. Because you felt like you've not done justice, you've not eaten enough. And then what will happen is you want to eat more. And then you will take more. Give me some more rice, give me some more sabji, give me some more sweet. So therefore, I heard one Ayurvedic doctor say that whenever you eat, you should be absolutely conscious and aware. You should have the presence of mind. and enjoy the food. Now you may say, well, that sense gratification, you know, let's not say food, let's say prasad, okay? Enjoy the prasad. Yes, we should enjoy the prasad. Why? Because if we don't, and because we are not on that level, if we are not on that level, then we will be overeating, overindulging. We will take more, thinking that, you know, I'm not satisfied. And that is even worse than enjoying the prasad. So therefore, take whatever you have calculated to eat and eat that and be present. The presence of mind, be conscious. Why do they say that? Because even though your senses is doing the job of eating, but if your mind is not there, the experience is not. Like say maybe you're sitting in front of the, Zoom class. Now I cannot obviously see all of you, and none of you actually. I don't know whether you all are actually listening. I'm sure that you all are listening, but you know, it's quite possible that you're staring at the screen, but you're thinking of something else. Mentally absent, physically present. So your senses are here and the sound vibrations of my talk is going into your ear, but because your mind is not there with you, the experience is not there. So therefore, we see the very important thing is the mind. Without the mind, the senses are ineffectual. That experience is absent. Yes. And therefore, the Shastra says, and in fact, you know, it is for everything that you do. In fact, the doctor said that not just eating, but when we are taking a bath, when we are attending to the call of nature, when we are doing anything and everything, it is recommended that we be present mentally. We are aware, okay, we are taking a bath, we are scrubbing our body, okay, we are answering the call of nature. Even the call of nature, when we are doing that, we should be conscious. Be there, present in the moment. It's a very important thing because the experience, you know, will give us that satisfaction, because that is a very important part of, a day-to-day things that we do. So everything has to be done conscious. And being conscious means bringing your mind there. That's why it is said that your mind is so critical. That's why it is said, man changa to lote mein ganga. There's a saying in Hindi, man changa to lote mein ganga. You know, which means that your mind can make heaven into hell, or it can make hell into heaven. Is it not? Like sometimes say you are, you know, sitting in a very comfortable situation, air condition is on, and you know all the family members are there, but you're just not feeling right, just feeling so depressed. And so even though your senses are comfortable, but your mind is restless, your mind is dissatisfied, you're experiencing depression, all those kind of things. And then what happens? You're having a miserable experience, even though your senses are comfortable. I remember when I was traveling for preaching once at Vidya Vihar station, the railway station in India. I was standing there waiting for the train. And you know, on the tracks, there was one a water faucet, you know, where some poor people were washing their clothes. So I was just watching them. Few of the poor, very poor people, you know, like live in slums. They were washing their clothes. And there is an overbridge where the, you know, cars are going on that bridge above the trains, train tracks. Like, so from over the bridge, there were some foreigners who were standing there, about, you know, 7-8 people of tourists, probably they were tourists, and they got off from the tourist buses, and they were peeping down into that place, and they were seeing how these poor people are washing their clothes, what kind of life they're living. And I was just looking at them and I was thinking, you know, what is motivating them to leave the comforts of their, you know, very wealthy, affluent lifestyle to come to India to look at these things? You know, of course, India has many, many things. India is not just the slums, but, you know, so many other things. But still, you know, why do people go on these world tours, tourism and all these things? Why? Aren't they satisfied at home? No, they're not satisfied. Why? Because of the mind. Your senses can be very comfortable, you know, but if your mind is not there, nothing really gives you any enjoyment. So therefore, the mind is very critical. That's why they said, man changa to lote mein ganga. If your mind is peaceful, then if you discipline your mind, then anything, anywhere can be a very happy place for you. But if your mind is not disciplined, if it is not trained, not molded in a proper way, then wherever you are, you know, it will be miserable. Surroundings, environments, facilities will not make you happy. Not make you happy. And that is what is said here, that what we have acted in the past life, we will change our bodies, but the result of what we have acted comes in the next life. And even though the body is not there, but the mind is there. And enjoyment takes place in the mind. So therefore, it doesn't really matter now. Not much. It does matter to some extent, but not much, because the real experience and enjoyments or suffering is taking place. The punya and pap is actually in the mind. It's not so much in the senses. That is the topic here. You see? So some people may argue, how is that possible? Like, for example, you know, I met a lady when I was in UK. I think you may be knowing her. You might have read about her. She's Tamal Krishna Maharaj's disciple, Ratnavali Mataji. She had written a diary, an article about her own life. Because she claimed to remember her past life. Now, this is a true story because it has been ratified by Bhakti Charu Maharaj and even her own spiritual master, who said that this is a bona fide case of reincarnation. I met her. I used her photographs and her writings. And I present it in my talks also. So when I met her in the UK, I was very glad. I told her, you know, I use your example to prove reincarnation exists and things like that. So it's very interesting, you know, her life. She says that she remembered who she was in a past life and who she was. Now she's an Indian lady. Her name is Ratnavali Mataji, initiated by Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And in her past life, she remembers herself as a European brahmachari whose name was Raghav. He was initiated by Srila Prabhupada in 1973. He was born in Scotland. His name was David. Initiated name was Raghav or something. His yajna was not completed. He just got a name, I think, and then passed away in a road accident. A devotee was driving the car. Somewhere close to Scotland, he met with an accident. And he died. He died and he's born as this girl. And there's a lot to it. I'm just cutting it short. Now she's born as an Indian girl now. And he has some past memories. She has gone, her guru told her to go through some regression. And she went for it and she could remember many things, and she remembered how she died. She remembered Tribhuvannath Prabhu in UK. She remembered the person who was driving and many things. And once her, you know, guru came to her and passed a comment, which was kind of funny, and told, what were you thinking about? Were you thinking of a girl in your past life? Yeah. you know, just as a jest. And she, it was a joke, but then when she thought about it, because everything the guru says, you know, has meaning. So she was just thinking about it and she realized that, yes, in a past life, she was attached to an Indian girl from a congregation. And she said that she traced her, who she was, and she went with some Mahaprasad to meet that girl whom she was in love with in the past life, you know, as a brahmachari, okay? And she says that when she looked at this lady, she was so surprised to find that she was so similar in her own features, you know, to that lady whom she was watching. And she realized this verse from the Bhagavad Gita that, you know, you become what you think of at the time of death. And because he was attached to her, he got a female body. So imagine, and I was just thinking of this example you know, that yes, that's what happens now, you know, even in the case that we are discussing in the previous chapter, in the 28th chapter of the same analogy, Puranjan, that Puranjan becomes a woman, you see, in the next life because he's attached to women. And that's what happens every life. When man is attached to a woman, he gives up his body, he becomes a woman in this next life. And woman is attached to a man, he becomes a man in the next life. And this is going on continuously. And now imagine now if a man becomes a woman in his next life because he's attached to a woman. Now how will he enjoy? Because now he's a woman. You know, how will he enjoy the association? So two things can happen. Either from birth because he's having a woman's body. Say maybe he gives that desire up, you know, he just gets frustrated because, you know, you don't care for what you have already. It's like, you know, the body is like a mobile phone, say like anything, like a car or like a mobile phone. What happens when you get a mobile phone? You know, you loathe over something like, oh, it's a new, Apple has come up with a new phone and I want this phone. And then once you get it, you lose interest for it. You lose it. The thing loses its charm. You know, so similarly, the soul is taking up bodies because he's always aspiring for something which he does not have. So as a man, he's looking at a woman, a woman is looking at a man, she's looking at a man. And, you know, that is what is going on. And then he changes. He gets a phone and then he uses it for some time and then he gets bored and then he changes his phone. He gets another model. And that's exactly what happens. Why is the body awarded to the soul in order to fulfill certain desires? And when his desires are fulfilled, a new set of desires develop, and then again he changes his bodies. It's nothing but changing, like, you know, changing phones or changing cars or changing houses. That's why in Hindi they say, you know, log apna kapde badal lete hain, log apna ghar badal lete hain, log apna dharm badal lete hain, itna ki apna naam tak badal lete hain, par ek cheez wo kabhi badalte nahi, apne aap ko nahi badalte. They never change themselves, but they want to change everything. So the point that I'm trying to make is, now there's one way that he gets this body and he loses interest in it. And then he starts, you know, developing affection for the opposite sex. Or for that matter, you know, what we hear about transgenders, cross-dressers, transvests, where people do not identify with the body that they are born with. It's so common. I'm sure that you must have heard of all these things. You know, they, like a child, you know, 5-year-old child, 7-year-old child telling the mother that, you know, if it's a boy, the boy is saying that I feel like a girl inside. I can't identify myself as a boy. And similarly, women, they think that, you know, they're boys and they start, you know, they wear the cross dress, you know, they wear the dress of boys. And if you think about it, what is this? You see, it clearly indicates that the mind is so powerful, it does not matter whether you have a male's body or you have a female's body, which is being discussed in this verse. Because the mind is above the body, and their identification with themselves is not according to what body they have. Had it been so, there would have not been these transvestites, transgenders. So this is another proof. So what happens now? You are a woman, and you know, say you are, you know, attracted to another woman, or if you are a man, you are attracted to another man, and you know, all these things today we see in the society is actually a proof that one can enjoy irrespective of what body you have. Just recently in a news article, there was this very famous viral news about an Indian American girl getting married to a Pakistani girl somewhere in America. You must have heard about it. Two girls getting married. And if you think about it, I think this proves this point in the Bhagavatam, that it is the mind which is responsible for enjoyment, not the so much the body. Yes, body is necessary. Sometimes if everything goes well, then, you know, the mind is compatible with the body. Things are straight, but otherwise things go wrong, then, you know, something like that happens according to Vedic literatures. So therefore, the point here is that it is possible. It is possible. And therefore, the scriptures say that be careful what you're thinking of. The mind. Sada santushta manasaha. Always keep your mind peaceful. Sada santushta manasaha. Sarvaha shiva maya dishaha. And then you will always be experiencing auspiciousness wherever you go. Sharkara kantaka dibhyo yatho panat padah shivam. It's explained just as yatho panat padah, upapanat padah, that means just as shoes, when you wear good shoes, then you will get an experience of walking on carpet wherever you go. You know, say like you want to go to the college, or say you want to go to office from your home. Say it's very close by, it's not very far, say maybe 5 kilometers or something like that. And if you have to walk, and if you are very wealthy, then you, what will you have to do if you want to make your walk a pleasurable experience? You'll have to put up a carpet right up to the office. But that's not practical. How will you put up a carpet, you see? Because what is the best way to go about it is to wear shoes and go. So you are walking on these pebbles. Sharkara kantaka dibhyo. Sharkara means, you know, these stones and pebbles and thorns and every other thing which may hurt your feet. Sharkara kantaka dibhyo, and all these things will not bother you. Yatho panat padah shivam, because you've got your shoes on. So similarly, in life, if we have trained ourselves through yoga, through meditation, through philosophy, through association, through the practice of chanting, if we have molded and disciplined our minds, then we will have the same experience as wearing shoes. Wherever we go, life will be very happy, pleasurable. Life will be blissful because it's all in the mind. It's all in the mind. That's why it is said, man changa to katoti me ganga. You know, this verse, this phrase was spoken by one saint whose name was Ravidas. He was a cobbler by caste, low caste. And it is said that once a Brahmin came to him to get his shoes mended. So he was doing his work and he asked him, "So where are you going, my dear Brahmin?" So he said, "I'm going to the Ganges to take a, you know, bath." So he said, "All right, can you do me a favor, please?" So the Brahmin paid him for the services. So then the cobbler said, you know, take this payment that you're giving me and you please offer it to the, you know, Ganges. Offer some flowers to the Ganges on my behalf. I am so lowly. I am so fallen. You please do this service for me. So this Brahmin said, all right. And he took the money and he went and he took his bath. And then he remembered, oh, you know, this Rohidas, the cobbler, has given me this. So anyway, he did his duty. He purchased some flowers and offered it to the Ganga. And lo and behold, okay. So as the story goes, lo and behold. And from the Ganges, Ganga personified appeared and awarded this Brahmin a celestial bangle, unparalleled in its beauty, divine, exquisite, gold, studded with wonderful jewels. And she told this Brahmin that you may give it to the person who has made this offering to me, which meant that she wanted it to be given to the cobbler, Ravidas. So this Brahmin, now he's having that very valuable bangle in his pocket and he's thinking, what will I get by giving this bangle to this cobbler? Really, I think I can make more money or I can get some appreciation. If I give this to the king, ultimately all valuable things should be given to the king. And you know, king can have everything. There's no sin in giving to the king. You know, so he just took it to the king and he said, please take it. King, he took the bangle, he rewarded that Brahmin. And that king gave that bangle to his wife. So the wife liked it very much. She said, wow, wonderful. You know, such a bangle I've never seen. In my entire life, I've not seen. I cannot get any worker to make a bangle like this. Because she wanted to offer it to her deity. So there was only one of it, you know. So she gave it to her goldsmith and said, you make a bangle like this, identical. I want two because I wanted to offer it to Thakurji. So the goldsmith, they said, you know, this kind of bangle I've never seen and we cannot make it. It has not been crafted by any human. This must be the handiwork of some god. We can't make it. It's exquisite. So then the wife told the king that, you know, I want another. You make arrangements. I want the another pair. Where is that other pair? So the king called the Brahmin. He said, I want the other bangle also. Please give it. Where is that? So he said, ah, well, I don't know. How can I get another? And then he told, he had to say that, you know, I offered, made an offering and so on and so forth. And the king said, no, I want another bangle. You do whatever it takes. So then the king arranged for that Ravidas to come, or in fact the Brahmin to go to the Ravidas, who was sitting inside his shoe mending shop. Brahmin goes there and he says, you know, the king has, and he narrated what all happened. He made a mistake. He took the bangle which was given by Ganga, gave it to the king, and so on and so forth. And now the king is asking for another bangle. I don't know how to give it. So please, Ravidas, you make another offering to Ganga, so that my life can be spared. Otherwise, this king may kill me for, you know, not speaking the truth, being a Brahmin, ultimately. So Ravidas said, don't worry. You know, I will make another offering. And, you know, Katoti, what you call Katoti, is a kind of a leather a pot or a stone pot. You know, they have a stone pot where they put water, keep water. And they soak the leather items there to soften the leather. And then they can make the shoes out of it and mold it like that. So that is known as Katoti. So Rohidas just took some money and imagined or visualized in his mind that Ganga is there in that Katoti and made the offering into that pot, water. And lo and behold, it is said by, you know, of course this is folklore, but it is, you know, we accept it as truth because it is everything according to Siddhanta. And it is said that from that Katoti, a hand emerged, which was actually the arm of Ganga, who was so pleased by this devotion of this cobbler, you know, that she emerged with another offering of a bangle and gave it to Ravidas. And Ravidas took that bangle and offered it to the Brahmin and said, go give it to that king and satisfy him. You know, so goes the story of how Man Changa to Katoti Me Ganga. That's why they say, that's why it is said like that, very popular. That if your mind is good, then you will find Ganga even in your Katoti. There's no need to go all the way to take bath in Haridwar and Prabhupada used to say that people, you know, from Calcutta, they go all the way to Haridwar to take bath in the Ganges. But they do not realize that Ganga is also flowing in Calcutta, is it not? What is the need to make such hundreds of kilometers of journey? No, if you simply, it's in your mind. If you think that, okay, Mother Ganges, you are flowing here. You are as pure here as you are pure in Haridwar. You are never contaminated. Please bless me. You get the benefit of, you can just take bath there. There's no need to go all the way there to Haridwar. But people do that. Why? Because it's in the mind. So this very amazing principle, you see, that how the mind makes things happen, whether it is devotion or it is anything else, even sense gratification, it's the mind that makes it happen. You know, Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj gave a very wonderful story, and therefore I accept it as a truth. It was a practical episode which took place, it is said, in a cold storage factory where one of the men, workers, he was locked inside the factory. They locked it up from outside. He could not get out, so he was inside for the whole night. And the next day, when they opened that factory, they found his frozen body. It was an ice factory, so his body was frozen. But the interesting thing about it was that they had shut down the freezer. The freezer was not on. But still that man froze to death. Why? Because the mind made it a reality. He thought that, I'm going to freeze to death. I cannot escape. It's so cold in here. And he imagined it that way. And it became a reality. And they found his frozen dead body. Because Jayadvaita Maharaj said it many years ago. I remember when I was doing my Bhakti Shastri somewhere in around that time, around 2001, 2002. Therefore I accept it. That these are such very rare occurrences and such things which goes to show that how important our mind is. So these are all, I think, the proofs, these gender dysphorias, transgenders and reincarnations, which are very important to substantiate these claims which the Shastras are making, that the mind can make things a reality. You know, mind can make things a reality, and therefore what is important is where our mind is, not where we are physically present. You know, we may be sitting in a satsang, but we may be thinking about something else. So actually, we are not in satsang. We are thinking, say, if we are sitting in satsang and we are thinking about home, that, what is my husband doing? Or what is my wife doing? Where are my children? So actually, we are not in satsang. We are at home. And if we are sitting at home and we are thinking about satsang, I missed my satsang. How unfortunate. What is the Prabhuji speaking, or what are the points which are discussed? And, you know, you're somehow trying your, you know, switching on your Zoom or whatever. And so you are at home, but you are in satsang. So it is not where we are physically, which is important, but where we are mentally. And in yoga, everything is about the mind. It's not so much about the body, really. It's not. It's all about the mind. That's why it is said in the 11th canto of Uddhava Gita, Danam swadharmo niyamo yamascha. Yeah? Danam swadharmo niyamo yamascha shrutam cha karmani cha sadvratani sarve manah nigraha lakshanantaha parohi yogo manasah samadhi. Okay, so it says that danam swadharmo niyamo yamascha. That means whatever you do, you are doing a charity. Swadharmo, you are doing your, you know, swadharma, your duties as a householder. Maybe you're a husband, you know, you're doing your work in your office, you're a businessman, whatever, you're a wife or you're a child, son, you're, you know, a student, you're studying. You're doing your swadharma properly, meticulously, immaculately. Dhanam swadharmo niyamo yamascha. You're doing, you're following all the rules and regulations. Yam and niyam. Yamo niyamascha. Shrutam cha. And you are also attentively hearing to the classes, to the scriptures. You're doing a swadhyay. Shrutam cha karmani. And you are, you know, doing all your activities properly. Karmani. Sadvaratani, and whatever sadvarat you have taken, sankalpa you have taken, vows you have taken, that we take, say maybe in Krishna consciousness, we follow the principles and so on and so forth. Sadvaratani. So what are these meant for? What are all these things meant for that we do, you know, these ekadashis, you know, we do these vratas parayan, Gita parayan, we do Bhagavat parayan, we do this and that and so many rules we follow. What are they all meant for? So Krishna is telling Uddhav, sarve mano nigraha lakshanantaha. Everything is meant simply to discipline the mind. And what? Parohiyogo manasaha samadhihi is to fix the mind in the remembrance of Krishna. It is the mind. Man ka khel hai sab. You know, Hindi mein, you know, kehte hai na ki man ka khel. Sab andar ki baat hai. Andar ki baat. That is what it is actually. It's all for the mind. When we chant, chanting is like a yagya. Yagya naam japa yagyo asmi. It's like offering the mental mind into the fire of sankirtan, into the chanting of Hari. But if your mind is not there, it's like doing a yagya, but you are not making the offerings into the yagya. Idam Indraya, Idam Namama, Swaha. Say you're chanting the mantra, but instead of putting it into the fire, you're putting it there, you're putting it there, and you're putting it everywhere. But if you're not putting it into the fire, the offerings don't reach to the expected location. Is it not? I mean, so similarly, when we are chanting, and if you're not conscious, then it's like making our offering somewhere else. So therefore, here it is explained that now people, especially if you see, it's only our tradition, it is only the Sanatan Dharma, popularly known as Hindu tradition, which believes in reincarnation. Otherwise, if you see Islam or you take Christianity, they do not believe in a reincarnation theory. Or they do believe, but they just believe that their reincarnation is directly on the judgment day. We only live once. If you do not know, you know, this is actually a fact that these Judaic traditions, they believe that there is only one life. We only live once and we are judged by God after death. We have to choose our actions properly, and then it is either eternal damnation in hell or eternal residence in heaven. This is their belief. So naturally, if you do not accept that there has been a past life, then you can't explain why are bad things happen to good people, good things happening to bad people. There is no way to explain it. You know, that's why I keep emphasizing this concept of reincarnation is very, very important. We have taken multiple lives in the past, births in the past, unlimited births in the past. And we will continue. It is not necessary that everyone will go back home, back to Godhead in one lifetime. Depending on what desires we have, it will be fulfilled. So therefore, this Shastra says that we can understand by these theories of reincarnation that what we are is a product of how we have acted in the past, and our current body is not as important or not so important, but the mind is most important in fulfilling our desires. You know, sometimes you see a dream and you are a king and, you know, something like that, and then when you wake up, you are like back to reality. But when you are dreaming, it is a real experience. It's a real experience. And it's a reality for you in that realm. So you have experienced it. It's true. It's a fact that you can't deny. So that is how the mind works. And therefore, Mahaprabhu says that Cheto Darpana Marjanam, that Chetan, the Chitta, the mind, needs to be purified by the process of chanting Hare Krishna. And if we do it diligently, incessantly, as a sadhana, consciously, then the mind will become purified and we cultivate good desires to serve the Lord. Then sure, you know, our final destination is assured. Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Prem, service to the Lord. Hare Krishna. So a few thoughts which I wanted to share with you on this topic which has been discussed in these two verses. Hare Krishna. If anyone has any questions or any comments to make, we can take it. If you all are still there, present.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very so much for sharing your realizations on the mind. It was a wonderful class. Thank you very so much. If anybody have any questions, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Namrat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. It's a very wonderful class. So Prabhuji, you had, I have a question. You had said that while we are eating, we should focus on the food or the prasadam. But we see that we have also heard, and we practice also in ISKCON, that whenever we are having prasadam, there's a lecture going on in the prasadam hall. So our focus is usually on the lecture and not on the food. So how do we understand this difference?
Yeah. So anyway, the principle has to be understood. Principle that, you know, a little bit is okay. You know, just have some light discussion, some light philosophy. You should have a pleasurable experience. But the idea is that if you're just so unconscious about that eating experience, then, you know, you are not going to be satisfied. You're bound to overeat. So you can choose to switch off, you know, whenever it is necessary. You do have that power to switch off. In case if it's getting too much, just internally switch off and focus, you know, on what you are doing. Eat. That is important. Why are you sitting there to eat? You know, I know that it is difficult sometimes when you're in a community to do certain things. Like, for example, I'll share one experience with you. In 2001, 2002, and 2003, I was in charge of the guest reception. All the sannyasis coming, I was taking care of them. I was serving them prasad. I was, you know, washing their clothes and ironing them. I used to give them body massages and everything. All right. So there was one devotee. He was very intellectually inclined, okay, and he used to love asking questions. So what he would do when I was serving the sannyasis the prasad, he would come inside the room, and he would sit there and he would, you know, discuss philosophy with this sannyasi. It happened a couple of times, many times it happened. So nothing wrong with that. But anyway, in the management meeting, I raised an issue with the temple president. I said, look, you know, this devotee keeps coming and I don't think that's right. I mean, it's nice to discuss philosophy, but does it really have to be during the time of prasad? I mean, he's sitting there asking these, firing these questions, and, you know, that poor sannyasi, he's had a difficult time. You know, he's been working hard, traveling, this, that. They're old also. and then he's not even able to focus on what he's eating. You know, give him a space, you know, give him his time, let him focus and enjoy his prasad. I mean, you're asking questions, he has to focus on what he has to say and everything. I'm not stopping you. I don't say that what he's doing is wrong, but can't it be at another time? And he was there in that meeting and he became so angry at me and he told me, what do you understand philosophy? You know, kind of like a fool. you're a fool. You don't relish philosophy. You know, so that way I got a real heat at that time. But no, I put my foot down. I told him, look, you know, I'm in charge of the guest reception. I'm taking the calling the shots here. And I strongly recommend don't come during the pressure. Pradham serving time and discuss philosophy, okay? And come at another time. I put my foot down. I felt I would not be comfortable discussing heavy philosophy during prasad. Something light, it's okay. But you know, somebody sitting there, you know, just firing questions and you are eating. You also take a plate and you maybe sit with Maharaj, you also eat. Then you realize, you know, you can do one thing at one time. You can't do 10 things at 50 things at the same time. You can't do anything properly. So I do strongly believe in this principle. You know, see, you know, truth is a truth even if nobody is saying it. And a lie is a lie even if everybody is saying it. Let us remember this concept, okay? Let us just not go in a group and do things what everyone says. Let's discuss principles. You know? Otherwise, I don't want to get into any controversy. But it is each and every individual, God has given us the intelligence and take your call. Take your call. If you feel that you are being too distracted from the eating process and enjoying your prasad, then disconnect internally. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. It really helps. Thank you.
If anybody have any questions for Prabhuji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, where can we read about the Mataji you mentioned about? Mataji of London.
Can you see my screen?
Yes, Prabhu.
This is Diary of Ratnavali Devi Das C by Patita Pavan Das Adhikari.
Where are you pulling it off, Prabhuji? From internet or it's a particular book?
Yeah, it's available. Yeah, it's available on the internet. See, this is the Brahmachari Raghav Das. Yes?
Okay. Yeah.
And this is the Mataji. I met her in UK. She's connected to the Soho Street Temple.
Okay.
And
okay.
I told her that I use your examples in my classes. She was very happy. You know, so she plays a Zambi, you know. She plays a Zambi. Because even in her past, she was interested in, you know, Kirtan and things like that.
Mataji is still there?
Yeah, very much. She's very much a part of that. You know, they do that Kirtan and from Soho Street, you know, they go from Soho Street to the Piccadilly thing. Yeah, they she's a regular there in the Kirtan and all that.
So what can I search on Google to find?
I mean, Ratnavali, use this, you know, the Diary of Ratnavali Devi Dasi.
Okay, Prabhuji. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Type it in Google.
Yeah, thank you for letting us know about it. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare. Yes.
Prabhuji, like I have a very a quick question. How to control our minds from negative thoughts? I mean, like I understand, like being conscious in the mind, like how much it is important to be conscious what we are doing, but how can we control our mind from unwanted thoughts?
See, I want to give you one exercise. Okay. Can you all do an exercise with me?
Sure, Prabhuji, I'll try.
All of you, not just you who has asked the question. Okay. All of you. Okay. I want you all to close. I want you all to close your eyes. This is, I'm doing a workshop here. Okay. Mind workshop. Don't cheat. Okay. Because I can't see you, but you have to keep your eyes closed. All right. And I will suggest certain objects which you have to visualize. It's very simple. Simple objects I'll give you. What you have to do is try to visualize them. All right. Okay. You have to visualize them. So let us say a watermelon. Visualize a watermelon. Hope you can visualize it. Visualize it as a whole, or you're chopping it and you're seeing the internal of the fruit.
As a whole.
Okay, now I'll give you another object. Visualize a pumpkin, a large pumpkin growing in a field. Okay. Visualize a phone. A handheld smartphone. Okay, visualize your partner, you know, your life partner. Or if you don't have a life partner, if you're not married, then maybe your brother or a sister. Visualize them. Now, you open your eyes. Everyone open your eyes. Okay, now I would like to ask you, what was the first thing I told you to visualize?
Watermelon.
All right. So, when I told you watermelon, were you able to visualize?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Then, the second, what I told you was a pumpkin, is it not?
Yes.
Okay, when I told you pumpkin, were you able to visualize?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, what happened to the watermelon?
It's gone.
Was it there? It was gone. Then I gave you another thing. I gave you a mobile phone. Then I gave you, you see, as I started suggesting the objects, you were bringing it in your mind, and all the other objects were being removed or exiting your mind. What you have done is suggested meditation. What you have just done is a proof that if you want, with a little help, you can control what thoughts are coming in and what thoughts can be brought out or taken out of your mind. If you were successful, and I'm sure that all of you who have done this experiment were successful, and therefore you can conclude that removing the thoughts, the bad thoughts, negative thoughts, bringing the Krishna conscious thoughts in your mind is a matter of conscious attempt. Is it not?
Yes, Prabhuji, indeed.
Yes. So no one can say, I cannot. You have to. We all have to put that effort. And therefore, you know, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, what if we don't have determination? You know what Prabhupada said? He said, then you are an animal. Now, there is a very deep philosophical point here. The reason why Prabhupada said it, because in a human form of life, determination is there. The question is whether we use it. A human being is capable of doing and training the mind to do anything. Question is whether we want to do it. Do you all have time for another example?
Absolutely, Prabhuji.
You know, there was one very senior management devotee in Calcutta temple. I will not tell the name, okay? He was telling in his youthful days of his practice of Krishna consciousness, due to excessive management, he got a little fried and we thought, what's happening here? You know, ISKCON for us is out here. I want to increase and step up the standard of my Krishna conscious practice. So he left the temple and he went to Vrindavan to live with the Babajis, because he felt, okay, these Babajis are practicing high standards and things like that. But you know what happened there is that these people, they have certain principles. Principle is that you will not make your own food. You will not make your own arrangements. You will have to simply go and beg. You will eat what God gives you through begging. You have to take bath in the river, whether it is hot, cold. In summer, in winter, you have to take bath in the chilly, icy waters of the Yamuna. You have to, and no soap. You can't use soap. You have to take that Braj and rub it on your body and clean yourself. If you get sick, you cannot go to the doctors. You have to depend on Krishna. If Krishna sends a doctor, cure yourself. Otherwise, no problem. You have to die. You will go back to home, back to God. So these were the principles they are following. So after a few days, he became very, very sick. Because, you know, when you beg, you don't get food of your choice. And sometimes it's too spicy. Sometimes it's... So he started... His health started getting bad. And he said, you know, I'm going back. He said, it is not possible for me. I can't do it. So you know what that Babaji told him? Same thing what I'm telling you. He said, it is not the question of whether you can't do it. The question is whether you want to do it. As a human being, you have the choice. Only as an animal, yes, animals can't do it. Animals can't. Unless, of course, there are exceptions like Jada Bharata, you know, before he was a deer, then Gajendra and, you know, the crocodile and all this. But there are exceptional cases of animals practicing, you know, and becoming Krishna conscious. But as a human being, it is possible. We can train our mind to do anything. I mean, look at these people, you know, look at these prodigies, you know, small children who can play pianos, and look at their fingers move, you know. If you look at it for the first time, you may think it is impossible. How can a human being move his fingers so fast? And he's a kid. But then how has he been able to do that? Master that art. It is only because of mental discipline. Practice, practice, practice. And it takes determination. And not just determination, it is, you know, that interest, that liking. When you like something, your mind naturally goes toward it. You know, there was this guy who was sitting at home and his home got robbed. He went to the police station to lodge a complaint. So the police said, you have to lodge an first information report, an FIR, and make a list of all the things that were stolen from your home. So he made a long list, the washing machine, the microwave, his jewelry, his cash, and everything. Huge list. So the police asked him, man, you've lost everything practically. Is there anything left in your house? So he said, yes, there's only one thing left. He said, what is that? He said, the television. So the inspector started wondering, how is it that everything went, such an expensive television was still in your house? So he said, that is because I was at home and I was watching television when the robbery took place. Which means that he was so engrossed in watching television that he did not realize that this thief had come and he took everything at home from home. You know, it's like a joke. Basically, the mind goes where your interest lies, where your heart is. So therefore, the essential thing is to find that interest, to find that inspiration. And then naturally, your mind will gravitate towards, you know, the positive things, towards where your interest is. And that is the whole concept of bhakti. Bhakti is different from yoga, where they are mechanically trying to, you know, take the negative thoughts out, bring the positive thoughts. But the process of bhakti is more of that of inspiration. You see, developing that taste. And that's where guru comes. That's where the association comes. If you can't do it alone, take help. and further our practice. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very so much, Prabhuji. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for the question.
If anybody have any questions, please go ahead. Otherwise, like.
Krishna Prabhuji. Can you hear me? Hare Krishna.
We can hear you, Mataji.
Okay, yeah. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. I want to add one point to Praveen Govind Prabhu's question. Like when Chandramouli Maharaj comes, he always reads, ask us to read the Krishna book or Bhagavad Gita when he is taking breakfast, or he has the Prabhupada's lecture on. When he is doing so many, like we do taking bath and all these things, he always has the Prabhupada's lecture on.
Yeah. So, okay. So, what is your point? Hello?
Yeah. No, I just wanted to add that to.
Yeah. So, it's your personal preference. If you want to read something light, something about Krishna consciousness, that's nice. Just make sure that you don't overeat. Because if you're not conscious of what you're doing, you will tend to overeat. That's the point. Yeah. So these great souls, they can do everything. You know, it's a matter of personal preference. Someone wants to read Krishna book, that's good. It's very nice. That's very good. We do in our temple, every day we read Prabhupada's Lilamrita or Memories.
Yeah. Prabhuji, I want to give the darshan, today's darshan to everyone.
Okay, please carry on.
Yeah. Otherwise, take the camera that way. Go that way. We have Jagannath deities. These are our Ratha Yatra deities. Okay, go. And every Sunday we have aarti program.
Nice. So, yeah. Jai Jagannath Balde Subhadra Minya Ki Jai. Nathina Dev Bhavan Ki Jai.
Thank you for sharing Shama Gauri Mataji. They're amazing.
They're very amazing.
Thank you.
Okay, so what is the next?
Thank you, Mataji, for sharing the darshan. They are very beautiful ladies. Thank you so much for the class today, and we are very, very grateful to you, and we look forward for your association again and again in future. If nobody have any questions, we can end the call here.
Yes, Mataji.
Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha sitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai. Granda Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His grace Akinchan Krishna Prabhuji ki jai.
Jai.
Gaur Bhakti ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, dandavat pranam. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, dandavat pranam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.